So we'll just take a few minutes to think about, well, one of the themes that we've had this morning. We've been singing about love. I was interested when I came in to hear Brother Paul playing songs about loving the Lord, how I love him. And I had just been thinking this morning about heart religion. And you know why I was thinking about heart religion, and maybe this is why Brother Paul was playing these songs. Our reading in the staff devotional had to do with loving the Master. We're his servants. And it had to do with loving him and serving him because we love him. Not first out of a sense of duty, although that's important. We ought to serve the Lord. He's called us to serve him. But the motivation should be loving him, that our hearts are entirely his. That's very important. So I'd like you to just pay close attention this morning for a few minutes to this that I have to say to you. I think tonight we'll look at this reading, Second Thursday. I love my master. I will not go out free. This is the testimony of the bond servant, the one who chooses to stay. There's an opportunity for him to be released from his servitude, and he says, no, I want to stay with this master. I don't want a different master. I want this master. I love my master. I will not go out free. And I'd like to look at that passage perhaps with you tonight, but he is my master and my Lord, my Savior and my Redeemer, and I love him. And I want to stay in his service because I love him. Now, I started thinking about that, and when my heart was drawn to the prophet Joel this morning, that was in my mind already. And so I started reading the passage that I wanted to read in Joel with those thoughts that God wants my heart. God wants my heart. He wants me. We spoke about it yesterday for a few minutes. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves to him, yield yourselves to him, give yourselves entirely to God. This is your worship. This is your spiritual worship, your reasonable service unto the Lord. And as I read in Joel, remember Joel is very important in the New Testament. When God poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter was there. And Peter received a wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost. And filled with the Spirit, he rose to answer those who were mocking and questioning what was going on. When tongues of fire sat upon the 120 who were there together, seeking the Lord, tarrying in his presence. And then they began to speak in all kinds of different languages. And it was a miracle because they were Galileans and they didn't know these various languages and dialects, but they were glorifying God. They didn't even know what they were saying so far as we know, but they were just speaking in the tongues of the different people that had gathered for the feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And some people said, these men are drunk. What is going on here? And Peter got up to explain, and he said, this is what Joel said. So I was reading Joel 2 this morning, and just want to show you how God spoke through the prophet Joel in the second chapter. He says this, second chapter of Joel, 12th verse, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. I think this was partly in my heart, in my mind, because I had that CD on yesterday, and there's a piece from Mendelssohn's Elijah, and I don't know if we even got to it yesterday or turned it off before that came. I think I'll play it today. I think I was up to that. It's maybe about the 10th track. It says, ye people, rend your hearts. Rend your hearts and not your garments. In Joel's day, the people were in great, great distress. there was a plague that had come across the land that had destroyed the harvest. It was a plague of locusts. And they tell us that these locusts would come across the fields and they would eat the harvest. And there would come famine and devastation in the land. And this was a way that God was punishing his people for their sin. And so Joel was raised up to preach the word of God, to preach a message of repentance to them. But you know how in the Old Testament people, when they got under great distress, and they sometimes showed it by just ripping their clothes and covering themselves in ashes, it says in sackcloth and ashes, and they may fast and just show God that they were serious about responding to him by ripping their clothes and covering themselves with these ashes. And Joel says, no, it has to go deeper than that. Not just an outward thing. Return to the Lord with all your heart. Rend your heart. Let your heart be torn. Let your heart be affected by your sin. Rend your heart and not your garments. And that's one of the songs that's coming on that CD that comes from, I've spoken about Elijah lately. It's from Mendelssohn's Elijah. And then it says, if with all your hearts you truly seek me, you shall surely find me, says your God. Or in the music it says, you shall ever surely find me, thus saith your God. If with all your hearts you truly seek me, you shall ever truly find me, thus says your God. So I was reading this passage this morning, and I noticed something in the King James Version, at least. I noticed words that start with R, verbs that start with R. And I thought, you know, I just want to call everyone's attention to five words that start with R here. And they have to do with heart religion, rending your garments, other outward signs of religious involvement, or shall we say emotion. They're rather easily manifested, and sometimes they can be hypocritical. They don't always come from the heart. Maybe you do it because someone else is doing it, or you're just part of some emotional outpouring. And people do so many things. They have so many outward ways to practice their religion. They do carnal things, things that show that they're religious, things that people can see, but God is after our hearts. All outward religion, God says, is vain. It's the inner man of the heart that matters to God. And so Joel says that, rend your hearts and not your garments. Heart-rending is something that God does. It's divine, and it's felt on the inside. There's grief for sin, true repentance, true turning to God, and it's something that's very personal, as we heard before from both Brother Paul and Sister Marie, something very personal when you rend your heart. No one can do that for you. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit on the inner man, the inmost heart of the believer. It's not something we just talk about, but it's something that God does. It's powerful. It's humiliating. On the door at the palace, I read, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Did you see that? That was a good verse someone wrote there. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And here, if we rend our hearts, our sins are purged. God is working, as you said, deep on the inside. The text says, rend your hearts and not your garments. And our hearts are so hard. I talked about one man in our church. There's another one who sometimes prays in prayer meeting, oh God, break up this these hard rock hearts of ours. Oh, God, soften these hard rock hearts of ours. I can hear him saying that. These hard rock hearts of ours. Break them up. Make them tender before you. How naturally hard our hearts are to the things of God. So how can we rend our hearts? How can we truly repent? I think we can take our hearts to the cross. We can look at the place where, or come to the place and look at the Savior and see where the love of God was most clearly manifested. Or so the Apostle John tells us, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, that God sent his Son to be our Savior, and that our Savior came and poured out his life for us. This is the way we see the love that God has for us. And if we come to Calvary and we hear the Lord Jesus crying out. Remember when he was at the cross and the voice of the dying Savior just broke the rocks? Do you remember that part of the story? It rent the rocks. It's just as powerful now. And he can touch our hearts if we look to him and ask the Holy Spirit to work to make the love of Jesus real and alive to us. His love for us, poor lost sinners who have rebelled against him and defied him and offended his holiness. What love he has for us, continually going after us, calling us to himself. You people, rend your hearts. Rend your hearts and not your garments. That's the first thing he says. And then return to the Lord your God. Follow me with these R's, okay, these verbs. Rend your hearts and return unto the Lord. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. This is our God. Joel 2:13. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Return, rend your hearts, and return. And he speaks here how we ought to really repent and how we really ought to call upon his name. But then he says another wonderful thing, if you'll do this. Verse 20. I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea. I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land with its front columns going into the eastern sea and those in the rear into the western sea, and its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Now, some people think that's the army of locusts. Others apply that to the enemies of God's people. It seems to that it probably applies to the army of locusts that is covering the land and devastating and eating up these harvests. I'll remove that. I'll remove that. In other words, I will fight for you. I'll remove the army that has come against you. I'll remove it. I can do it. I can lift up my hand and cause those locusts to be removed, be disappearing, so that they will no more trouble you. They'll no more eat up your harvest. Rend your hearts, return to the Lord, and then God says, I will remove, and then the next one, and you will rejoice. And where was that? Can you find that? Yes, verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion. Or 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And then 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. So what do we have? We rend our hearts, we return to the Lord. He removes, he fights for us, he fights against our enemies, And we think of that, of course, as the enemies of our souls that come against us and want to fight against our spiritual progress and our spiritual harvest or fruitfulness. And God is able to lift his hand, raise his hand, and drive them back and remove them. And then we shall rejoice. The land rejoices. The people rejoice that God has worked in their behalf. And then one of the most wonderful things, and I think I noticed other R's as I went through. I didn't even see them before. But we'll just take these five. Rend, return, remove, rejoice, and restore. Two of them are done by the Lord, three of them by you. You rend your hearts, you return to the Lord, you rejoice in his salvation, but he does the removing, the fighting against the enemies for us, and he restores. This is one of the most wonderful promises that I know of. I will restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten. I will restore those years to you. And that's the last one. That's something so precious for all of us, to know that God is able to work miraculously like that in those whose hearts turn towards him, whose hearts are deeply penitent and repentant, who rend their hearts and not their garments, who return to the Lord, and who then are given reason to rejoice in his great salvation. Praise the Lord. I wonder if there's anybody here who knows something about that in their experience. I think there must be people here that know something about that last one too. We've wasted many precious years. Now we're coming home. Brother Paul sometimes tells us about years of his life when he wandered from God. I don't think he'll mind my saying this. Brother Gordon Gardner, I think, had a kind of a soft spot in his heart for Brother Paul. And I can remember a Sunday morning, Brother Paul, when you might not even remember this, you visited the camp Sunday morning. I must have been a fairly young staff member. And we were sitting on those two chairs right there. The meeting was here, and we knew each other for a long time already, and you were in that seat. I was in the seat where Brother Tom is. And I had this sense that Brother Gardner was aiming at you. he wasn't going to let this opportunity go. There's Paul Mutz here in meeting. I'm not going to let this go by. And we sang that song, too, at the end of meeting. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered from God. I have been treading the paths of sin, but Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted, it says, many precious years. I now repent with bitter tears. And I'm sure that all these incidents, I don't think it was right at that time that Brother Paul came back 100%, but I'm sure all these things have their reasons and their effects as God, you know, directs the way things happen in our lives and in the meetings too. But to restore the years that the locust has eaten. Just think of that as a mighty miracle. How can you get years back? They're gone. And that's a very solemn thing. It's a very solemn thing that we waste years when we don't respond to God. We do. And yet, when we respond with true repentance, when we rend our hearts and not our garments, and we truly repent, and our lives turn. That's what repentance is. When we turn back to God, he's able to do something so precious and wonderful for us that even if we have just a little time left, and we pray that we'll have time to make up for those lost years, but even if we have just a little time left, God can make that time so rich because of bitter experience, because I think most of all because of tenderness of heart and openness of soul and a penitent spirit, an openness, yes, of faith towards Him and in Him and in His love. In His love, who has gone after us and who has restored us and drawn us back to Himself. You think of the locusts and what enemies they are, backsliding and worldliness and lukewarmness. And we see them, when we actually turn back to the Lord, we see them as a terrible plague. Oh, what a plague. Oh, what devastation those things have brought into my life. And yet, God is able. Oh, had they, that they had never come upon us. Oh, that we had never allowed these things into our hearts and experience. But in His mercy, the Lord has taken them away and restored us to Himself. And now we're full of zeal to serve Him. That's a wonderful thing. So we have a renewed zeal. We love Him more. We think of how much He has loved us, and that former plague, that former barrenness, God puts that all in the past, and He can make us fruitful for Him. I will restore to you. It's a miracle of His love that He can restore years that can never come back. But it says that. God's word says that. I'll restore the years that the locust has eaten. It just seems too great a mercy from God, but it's God's word. He said it through His prophet Joel, and we want to believe it, and we want to live for it. I hope that all of us are tender-hearted enough to realize that we waste time when we're not wholehearted, when we're not serving the Lord with enthusiasm and zeal. But God says that He can restore us and bless us. F.B. Meyer says that when you think of Peter at Pentecost, you see that there God restored to him what he wasted in the judgment hall when he denied his Savior. And how Paul, why he was serving, but he wasn't serving right. He thought he was right. He was zealous, but zealous for a false religion, a religion that was not a heart religion. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't love Him, and he didn't serve Him. But later, he became a bondservant. And surely, those years that preceded his conversion were more than made up for because he learned to love Jesus. And Jesus poured His love into his heart, and He made him a true bondservant. So let us love Jesus. Let us love Him with all our hearts. Oh God, help us that it might be a heart religion, that it might be true, that it might be a rending and a returning, and that we might rejoice because of it. And Lord, You will remove the power of the enemies that come against us. They will have no more, these other lords will have no more sway in our lives. And then, oh God, You are able to restore. And so we look for this, and we believe it, for it's Your word, and we thank You for it. Help us to live humbly before You. Help us to walk humbly, and let our hearts be tender today. Hallelujah, as we serve You in the Spirit. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Sing with me number 55. It's a real short song, but it's pointing us to Jesus, our Savior. 55 in the white books. I've tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. My soul is night, my heart is steel. I cannot see, I cannot feel. For light, for life, I must appeal in simple faith to Jesus. He died, he lives, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all his words and deeds. There's all a guilty sinner needs forevermore in Jesus. Though some should sneer and some should blame, I'll go with all my guilt and shame. I'll go to him because his name above all names is Jesus. Verse 3. He died, he lives, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all his words and deeds. There's all a guilty sinner needs forevermore in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless this day in our hearts, Lord, and let your word bring forth a harvest. Oh, Lord, we pray that it shall be heart religion, that it shall be true, sincere heart worship, service that is pleasing to you from all of us today. Hallelujah. Amen.